and the Washington Capitals. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Church.
And I'm Jim Russ.
Well, it was an interesting week in technology. I've been playing with Google Glass all week.
Excellent.
And it's been quite a bit of fun. I did have some bad news.
What's that?
With Google Glass.
Oh, I know. This is terrible.
No, you don't even know what it is yet. Well, I got the Google Glass from my IT department last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I played with it all weekend. I played with it on Monday. I played with it on Tuesday. And I thought, well, why don't I try the navigation system? So I tried navigation, and I went to the grocery store, and I ran in to get a bottle of wine. And I left Google Glass in the front seat of the car and forgot to lock the car.
Oh, no kidding.
Google Glass was stolen. On Tuesday.
What?
A $1,500 Google Glass was stolen, which my IT department had entrusted to me.
Uh-huh.
So I had a choice. I could order another one and then not tell anyone. But then I figured Marianne will probably tell everyone. So I just decided to email Kevin, the VP of IT, and Kevin ordered another Google Glass. So the Google Glass that I have on the show today is my second Google Glass of the week.
That's ridiculous.
It is. The thing is, the little pouch for the Google Glass is sort of like a velvet kind of looking pouch. It looks like I probably have pearls in it. So it probably looked like there was some jewelry in my car.
Oh, so it wasn't exactly laying out.
It was in the bag.
It was in the bag.
It was in the bag.
And the bag
is black, but it sort of looks like a, you know.
It looks like a jewel bag.
Like a jewel bag. So.
Where were you when this happened?
I was right in front of Giant. So then I went to the Giant, and I said, well, could you get the webcam to try to get whoever opened the door up? And they said, yeah, why don't you get a search warrant from the police for
that? Are you kidding me?
So then I went to the police, and they, you know, I figured.
Are you kidding me?
So I just decided just to give up on it. But it's not really what happens. It's how you react to it. I said, okay, well, I'm just going to learn from that and get another Google Glass. So my second Google Glass came in on Thursday, and I've been working with the Google Glass all week, and later in the show I'm going to talk all about it. And we're going to feature, by the way, the guy who was the visionary behind Google Glass. He went to Google. We're going to feature the guy who was behind it. And, I mean, just this month he left Google to go to Amazon.
Oh, no kidding.
But this is Babak Amir Parviz. He was at Google, and then he just left for Amazon. But he was the inspiration behind Google Glass. Very interesting guy from Iran. I'm also going to talk somewhat about what is cloud computing. People are saying, you know, it's like a big buzzword.
Right.
But actually, it's a very specific definition of what is cloud computing.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I would go to the NIST definition. NIST sent an official publication defining what cloud computing is. I thought I would go through all the specifics of that. I think anybody in IT, it's nice to know the specifics. It also kind of shows you what you should learn and how you could craft a career if you wanted to get into cloud. So I'll go through some of those details. Some guy lost 8,000 files on Dropbox. All of his pictures.
Whoa.
It's a bad, bad thing.
That's a bad thing.
And the app of the week is Shazam. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of Shazam?
I have heard of Shazam.
I really like Shazam, and I featured it because I installed Shazam on my Google Glass. So I can walk around. I just say, recognize this, and it tells me what the name of the song is.
Oh, that's cool.
So I thought, okay, I'm going to feature it because I could get it on glass.
I've been in the car, and people have Shazam. I'm like, this is mind-bending that your device listens.
That's right.
Well, I don't want to blow it because you're going to talk about it later.
It does. And so it's just quite a bit a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And if we have time, I'll get to the technology that's fueling a lot of the activities in the Gaza war. There's a whole social media thing going on in the back. Mm-hmm. I'll talk about what's going on with that particular war. And, of course, it was a huge, huge, huge mailbag.
There's a letter in your mailbox.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Big Voice. I thought he might have been on strike, but apparently
it's not him.
Apparently he's back. Apparently he's back in the saddle again.
Somebody else has dropped the ball.
We got an email from Ralph in Reston. Dear Tech Talk, can I run more than one anti-malware program or firewall? For example, I run Zone Alarm. Does that mean I should turn off Windows Firewall? Love the show, Ralph in Reston. Well, as a general rule, Ralph, you only need one of each of the following. You need one antivirus, one anti-spyware, and one firewall in general. You don't really need to double up on them. Now, most antivirus programs operate in two modes. One is just the scan mode, and the other one is the monitor mode. Now, there's nothing. Now, when you run it in the scan mode, it just scans your hard drive and then stops scanning and gives you a report. So there's no problem scanning your hard drive with multiple antivirus softwares. You know, and I've got a couple that I'll scan it with because they pick up different things. But you only want one of them to monitor it real time. So you pick the best one and just have one monitor do real time monitoring, because if they're both monitoring real time, they interfere with each other, and it does slow your computer down. You've also got anti-spyware tools in addition to antivirus, and the same applies there. You could have anti-spyware like Adaware might be one of them, and then Microsoft has an anti-spyware program. So you could actually scan your hard drive with both of those, but only allow one to monitor real time. As far as firewalls go, you already have one firewall on your router. That would be called a hardware firewall. And then your computer is behind that. I also have enable a software firewall on my computer that keeps a virus from, say, another computer on the network from infecting me. And so it's very important to have your software firewall. So you cascade the hardware firewall and the software firewall. You do not want to have two software firewalls. You don't want to cascade two software firewalls. So if you like Zone Alarm, then in fact you'd want to disable the Microsoft Windows firewall. So you just have one of them active at any one time. That was a good question, and best of luck with all your security software.
Yes.
We got an email from Zalalam in Fairfax. Dear Tech Talk, I burned DBAN into a CD and then rebooted my Windows 8. DBAN is a program that'll basically just wipe your hard drive clean if you want to sell the machine or something. So I burned DBAN into a CD and then rebooted on my Windows 8 machine. But the problem is it came up in Windows, and I don't know. Yeah, DBAN stands for Derek's Boot and Nuke. Derek's Boot and Nuke. And you can download DBAN from dban.org. If you want to just wipe a hard drive because I don't know why he's wiping his brand new machine. I guess he wants to do a clean install, and he's just going to get rid of all the crapware that the vendor so generously installed on his machine. But here's the problem. You've got your machine. It's not booting on the CD first. It's going to the hard drive first. So the boot order is set that it goes to the hard drive first. And so once it finds a bootable partition in the hard drive, and it just boots right up. So you have to tell your computer to go to the CD first or the USB port first. You have to set the boot order. Now, and you can do that in the BIOS. When it's coming up, you can hit a function key and bring up the BIOS, and then there's a menu. There's a selection menu. One of them is boot order. Then you can select CD or USB to boot up before the hard drive, and then it will boot right up. Now, the old systems had what they called a BIOS. The new machines, and your machine might be a newer one, has an UEFI, a Unified Extensible Firmware Interface. That's the new name for BIOS, Unified Extensible Firmware Interface, UEFI. And that has a secure boot, because you see, without a secure boot, somebody who has control of your machine could go in there, go into the BIOS, they could boot off of a CD, and the CD could be a Linux operating system, they could take over, they could read anything on your hard drive. So it really wasn't that secure. With secure boot, the Windows has to give permission to allow you to change the boot order. So if it's got, and it turns out Windows 8 knows how to use the secure boot feature of Unified Extensible Firmware Interface. So that means you're going to have to go into Windows 8. You're going to have to turn off secure boot. And then once you turn off Secure Boot, you can then go into the BIOS and you can change the boot order. So it was actually a good question. And this people ask this question quite often. Now, after you've changed the boot order and you do all your work with your CD, I'd go back and put the hard drive as boot first so it'll boot up faster. You don't want it to be searching, try to boot up on a CD, then boot up on a USB, and then go to the hard drive. That would delay you by a few, like maybe 10 seconds. So once you're done with all this, set it back to the hard drive first again. It's also more secure, so somebody can't put in a CD and then boot up something you don't want them to boot.
Mm-hmm.
We got an email from John in Michigan. Dear Doc and Jim, I'm trying to recover data from some old floppy drives. My laptop does not have these drives. What are my options? Thanks, John in Michigan. Well, if your data's on 3.5-inch floppies, these are the square ones, you're in luck, because those are new enough that you can just go to Amazon and you can buy 3.5-inch floppies, external 3.5-inch floppies with a USB plug. They're powered right from the USB, and they're only about $20. I mean, that's an easy fix. I mean, I found some for even like $10, but then I was afraid to get something that cheap, so I ended up getting the $20 ones. And so they're really cheap. Now, the problem with the 5.25-inch floppies, they're kind of legacy now and rare.
Yeah.
And back when they had 5.25-inch floppies, these were really floppies. When they had the 5.25-inch floppies, the standards weren't all that unified. And so you have to make certain. And so you can buy the floppy. I went on to Amazon. I could find a floppy, and those floppies without a controller were $60 because they're getting a little bit rare. And then you've got to get a controller. Now, I found like a TIAC, a 5.25-inch drive, and then I could get a TIAC controller, which would then control it. So you can't pick any controller because the standards are such that you've got to get a controller that matches the hard drive. There was not uniform interface standards between the hardware and between the hardware components at that time when these were around. Then once you get that, of course, that's not going to get it attached to a floppy. I could find no controller that would attach to a USB port. So you've got this bus plug, this IDE bus plug that you've got the standard bus that you've got to plug into, and so it becomes kind of problematic to get these things to run. So what I finally decided to do when I wanted to get a 5.25-inch floppy, I decided to go around and try to find an old computer in the back of one of the closets somewhere at Stratford. And you might have a friend that's got some old computer sitting around. You're probably better off just getting an old computer that's been sitting around and use that floppy. It'll really be running slow. It could have Windows 95 on it. It could have Windows 3.probably has Windows 3.1 on it.
Wow.
I would think. And so, you get one of these really old machines and boot it up, and then you could copy it. Now, so it turns out it's a project. Now, if you're not a project kind of guy, there are companies that will copy your floppies for about $1.95 each. So if you've got 10 floppies.
It's like going to turn your VHS into a DVD store.
Yeah,
right?
So if you've got 10 floppies, instead of buying a $20 floppy for $60, I mean, you're going to spend at least $120 trying to get hardware for this, and it's still iffy whether it works.
For something that you're going to, there's a finite
and
use
so
to
these,
it, right?
So these guys, for $1.95 each, they'll take and copy your floppies and put them onto a USB drive and send it back to you.
I like option B.
So my advice is to forget about buying the 5.25-inch floppy. Now, the 3.5-inch floppy for $20 is probably worth it because then you can, it's very easy to do. But for the 5.25-inch, I just send off your floppies and have these guys copy them for you. That's a very good good question, John. This app also brings up this issue of archival of critical files. You see, as storage media changes, like I've got files that I said very important, do not erase on. I've got on 100 megabyte zips. I've got on 250 megabyte zips. I've got on 3.5-inch floppies, I got 5.25-inch floppies, and I got all these very important do not destroy files.
Right.
But I didn't over the years, take those files and copy them to new storage media. So if, in fact, you've got critical files, you should keep copying them to newer storage media in order to maintain them. And you should have them at least two places. So, so you know, you could always copy them to an external hard drive, USB hard drive, and then you could back it up to the cloud. So this whole thing of digital file management and archival is becoming a bigger and bigger issue, particularly since people are putting all their pictures on hard drives. So this was a very good question.
Is it possible that, you know, if these floppies have been sitting around for a while and haven't been used, and when he sticks them in this drive, if he buys it, that they might not even work, that they could be degraded?
It is possible you could have bad segments on them. And this is a little trick that works. You put them in the freezer overnight, and after they've gotten down to cold temperature, pop them in, because the magnetic material works better when it's cold.
Oh, no kidding.
So you put it in the freezer, take them out and pop them in, and they'll work a lot better.
So what if you have old cassette tapes? Would that possibly work too? Would it make the sound quality better?
It could, because it actually, at a lower temperature, the magnetic material works better.
I am going to try this, because I have old cassette tapes that I want to get some stuff off
Just
of.
Just try it on one to make certain that it doesn't freeze
and snap the tape.
Because, you know, I've never done it on a tape. But I'm thinking it should work.
I think this should go into the laboratory.
Okay, very good. And you can report back on that.
I certainly will. All right. So, Doc.
Oh, we love your emails.
Yes,
I'm glad I'm here with a professional. We love your emails. Right. Email us at techtalk@stratford.edu.
And you're listening to Tech Talk on Saturday morning on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2. More of Tech Talk, and we have some really fun stuff today coming up. Stand by. We'll be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
What's the latest innovation in IT degrees? It's the Stratford University innovative approach that turns marketable skills into an employable edge to get you hired faster in today's hottest fields like cybersecurity, data mining, and mobile networking. At Stratford, our IT instructors bring their own business world experience right into the classroom with real-world problem-solving projects structured like a real business, empowering you with real hands-on skills so you can hit the ground running doing exactly what you learn in the classroom, right in the workplace. It's all part of our proven learn by doing approach to IT. Every class, every degree, every day. We offer bachelor's, master's, and associate degree programs at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. Stratford University. Changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It will be that time to talk and put your headphones on, Doc.
Okay, welcome back. Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge of Stratford University talking technology.
Yes, indeed we are. And we have something very special to talk about here. And as soon as I find the right button, because I moved everything around last week.
I'm going to go over and get the Google glasses now. I'm charging them up.
And while you're doing that, I'm going to do this. Because David loves this so much.
Hi, folks. This is David Burke.
You should see him bobbing his head back and forth. He's really getting into this.
I want to see these Google glasses.
Wait a minute. What are you on for?
Okay, here we go. Here we go. I got my Google glass on. You got the Google Glass on now?
That looked just asking for a beatdown. that really is, man. Wow.
Okay, Glass.
Wow. So
take a picture.
Has it happened?
Yeah, it's done.
It's done?
Where's
it going?
Okay, Glass.
To his brain.
Share this with Google Family.
Okay, so that means I'll be able to see this, right?
It's uploaded. Okay. To Google Plus, Dave.
You're getting a family look?
Hang on a second.
All right. He's checking his mini pad.
Here you go. Let me just...
Are you going to send it to me now?
I did it to Google Family. Oh, okay. I don't know how to send it to Google Tech Talk.
Now, Doc, here's the question. Why are you wearing sunglasses with the Google
Because glass? I wanted to make cool. it look like glasses, because I got the frames without the lens.
And so
I wanted you to, because you can buy it with lenses and get actual lenses in it.
I got you.
But you also buy frames.
So I did it so you could get the glass look.
So what do you see when you look through this? I
mean, so there is. You'll
is this
see
like
here.
A fighter pilot's.
Yeah,
cockpit?
You'll see. There's a prism there.
You have it. Your nose is off center. You're gonna need to put it. Move it over to your right a little bit.
Yeah. And then you can move. So there's a prism there that's a beam splitter.
The bridge is moved wrong.
And so now,
are you saying I got a big honker?
Your nose isn't in the bridge.
Look up. Oh, here. Oh, no, here. There.
There we go. Does that work better now?
Okay, yeah.
I wish this was TV because you can see what's going on.
Now, Dave, if you tilt your head up about 20 degrees, it'll turn on and you'll see something that says Google Glass. Now, you come down, you see Google Glass? You see anything yet?
Ladies and gentlemen, we're wearing Google Glass.
So the thing is... Do you see anything yet?
No.
David is turning his head.
I'm turning my head.
No, no. You've got to look up and turn it on.
David is looking up.
I've got it set. So this is.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
If David you see something, say OK Glass if you see something.
Okay, I'm waiting.
Okay, so.
OK Glass.
How much you pay for this?
How much was this?
This is $1,500.
While we're waiting for this to work.
So I could tilt my head and go, okay. Yeah.
Okay. While we're waiting for this to work, Doc, tell them what happened to the original pair.
OK Google Glass.
So this is my second. I had a Google Glass stolen on Tuesday.
Working. What?
Yes.
I had a Google Glass stolen on Tuesday.
What's Google Glass insurance cost these days?
And
there wasn't any.
There was no insurance.
Ooh.
He had to buy a second.
Okay. Oh, as soon as I put it on, it turns on.
Shib-boom.
Oh, okay. Here.
Maybe, is there like a DNA recognition thing going on here?
Yeah, here we go.
Take a video. Record a video.
Hi, Mr. Glass. Good to see you.
David is now on camera.
Here we go. We're rolling now.
We're rolling, yeah.
Okay, great.
Dave, now how do you like this whole glass look here?
It's kind of disturbing.
It is.
It's disturbing here. Now, why don't you put it on and you can take a video now that I've got it working. You put it on and you can continue with the video.
Oh, I see. It says.
So I'm taking the video there, Dave.
That's nice, Doc.
See there? It's recording everything. I can look over there at
Jimbo.
You can look over at Jimbo and you can.
There we go.
You could actually do an interview right there while you're going.
That's very nice.
You know,
now it says STOP here.
So if you want to stop
that would be
stop. If you want to stop it, you just tap the right side of the deal. You can stop it.
Let's look at your engineer producer.
Yeah, there
There's
you go.
Andrew.
This is going to be a very fancy, very fancy. Tap it.
Tap it.
It
stopped.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow,
it's kind of
so. That's a video.
What else does this do?
Can I see it?
So this thing will. This thing takes a picture, does a video, uploads it to Google Plus automatically.
Right.
I can say, send a message. It'll send email to people.
Right.
And
take a video.
And so I've got Shazam on it, so I say, recognize this, and it recognizes any music I'm listening
You've
to.
You've got Gomer Pyle software on this?
They got all kinds of software that you can download. You can download this
Take
thing.
A video.
Now, have you worn this in public? Like
I've worn it in public. I haven't really worn it. I've worn it to McDonald's.
I'll bet you got some looks.
I was in McDonald's this morning with my Google Glass.
Wow.
Okay, Glass, take a video.
Oh, did you get it on? No, you have to say it only recognizes the words you see. So when you say "Okay, Glass," say "Okay, Glass." And then if you see a list of stuff, whatever you see, you can say. Then it will recognize it.
Yeah.
So it also does navigation. So if I want to say, this morning I said, I want directions to WTOP Radio, Washington, D.C. And it just calculated it.
Really?
And so it flashes the map right in front of my eye, and I had navigation all the way here, just looking just right there as I was driving.
You know, this is really kind of scary. Doc,
yeah, but I have to say the navigation is really highly distracted.
Yeah,
say the least.
I don't really recommend it. I don't really recommend
it. Wow.
You know what comes to mind to me? Steve Martin, the jerk. People are going to go cross-eyed wearing these things.
So what?
Yeah, probably will.
So what happens is that in order to save the battery, the glass will periodically turn off, and I've got it set so you tilt your head up 10 degrees to turn it back on. So that's why you see people with glass are always twitching their head.
Flip flipping their head back?
They're always, like they're supermodels? Always, they're always flipping their head back as sort of the glass twitch.
Now, is there
they're constantly saying, okay, glass.
People are looking at them going, yeah.
So somebody that's always twitching their head and saying, okay, glass, and they're not even aware of what's, they have no situational awareness, they're called glass holes.
Exactly. Doc, can you adapt this to your personal computer at home? I mean, you're going to get documents and look at it, any of that kind of stuff?
There's various kinds of applications that you can
download. Interface to your PC.
Yeah, there are various kinds of applications you can. This right now, it primarily interfaces with Google Plus.
Wow.
That's the primary thing. And I'll tell you, I've been using it for navigation, for mail, for all kinds of applications.
I see a law
this
enforcement
week.
Application for this one.
Yeah. But the videos are great. Yeah. You can sit there and you can do, the sound quality is fantastic.
Would this be the kind of mechanism that police departments are thinking about? Like New York wants to put a camera on everybody.
Yeah. So, I mean, a police officer could have this when they talk to you. They actually record everything. Wow. And you can set it up so it automatically streams to the cloud, automatic streaming to the cloud of the video. So even if they steal the glasses, you've got it. Now, how this actually works, it connects. I have to turn on the hotspot on my phone,
right?
And it links to my phone's hotspot, so it has an internet access. When I'm at the school, I attach it to the local Wi-Fi.
Right.
But if I'm out driving, it connects to the internet through my phone using the hotspot feature.
Wow.
Now, the disadvantage of that,
Jimmy, is, you know what we want for Christmas, don't you, Jim?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
Okay.
so I'll tell you, we're buying these at Stratford to look at creation of content for classes. Like, right. If a chef is cutting up chicken or doing, and they want to demonstrate, they can put on Google Glass, and they've got a great video demonstration in real time of what's going on.
So here I'm showing you, David. This is
that's
Doc
a video
shot.
That
that's
I took.
That's a video that Doc shot.
Right.
And so it uploaded to Google Plus, and I just added Dr. Schertz to my Google family. So we're now brothers. Okay.
Exactly.
So here's the deal, Dave. You're not one of my friends on Google Plus.
Oh, really?
Because
I thought we Facebooked.
You haven't joined. It's,
you're not with it.
I'm not with it.
Dave, you haven't joined Google Plus.
Yeah.
So if you were on Google Plus, I could make you one of my circle of friends, and you could see all the videos that I would
all
be uploading,
all the
exciting stuff that I want to do.
I'm in the circle of friends.
Yeah,
I wonder. now here's the thing. Now Google Glass will also, if they have this one thing, if you blink, it will take a picture.
No.
Because you don't want to say, okay, Glass, take a picture when you're at a bar.
Yeah, exactly.
So, so what you do is you wink, and it takes a picture.
There we go. Now we're talking.
So you wink and you take a picture. The problem is I can't wink very well. I can never get the wink function
Doc,
to work.
You're not known as a winker.
Okay? When it came to winking, I failed.
No. He goes into a bar and starts winking. Yeah, we got
it. Looks like his contact is
I completely failed this.
Getting emotional.
But there were people in our IT department. They had a common Google Plus account. All the pictures went up, and one of the folks had this thing at home, and they didn't realize this wink was on, and they were just blinking, and they were taking random
thousands of pictures.
They were taking random pictures in the house that probably should not have been taken. And then they discovered later in the day what had happened, and they had to immediately go to the Google Plus account and delete all these pictures.
Delete in a hurry.
So the one problem, you're never quite sure where it's all going to go when you're uploading it, so you've got to kind of be careful of that. Because Google just wants you to share everything.
Of course, because they want to share everything, don't they?
So the thing is, you know, like I uploaded my first Glass video. And if you do, I'm with two professionals here. You know, I'm just kind of the amateur sitting in
here. I'm here to give radio subtitles.
Okay, what they're telling me, I don't have my headset.
I didn't have mine on because of the glasses. I took them off.
That's right. So the thing is, so if you do a Google search for Google Glass, you're going to see something called my first Google Glass video, and it's the one that I did yesterday.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
Wow.
So I'm not really sure about the whole privacy of this thing. And I uploaded it. I didn't even know it went there.
I'd be careful wearing these glasses around the house.
I don't think I'm... Well, see, here's the thing. I find it really distracting. I wonder if it's legal to drive with these things.
I don't know. I don't know if it is or not, Doc.
I think it is extremely distracting. I drove here this morning to WTOP, and I'm sitting here twitching my head to keep the thing on. And
yeah, you wound up on Jennifer Street. That's how distracted he was.
And then the problem is that there's only one Bluetooth connection. You get a phone call, like it doesn't work while you're on the phone. And then it's now the one thing, the Google Glass, it does act as a Bluetooth headset because it connects to your phone by Bluetooth. So if you get a phone call. Oh, the thing is, the microphone is this little button here, and it vibrates the bone behind your ear. It's bone vibration. And Dave...
Don't go there, man.
You should see the look on David's face.
I'm telling you, that sound...
I'm begging you. Don't do it.
I'm telling you, Dave, that is fantastic sound.
They didn't move the dump button, did they?
That's what I heard. Yeah, that's good. So, what do you? I know it's going to be an obvious answer. Mm-hmm. If I want to buy some Google glasses, where do I go?
You just order them from Google.
From Google. Hello. Okay.
You just order them from Google. You just search for Google Glass.
Anybody
can buy them for $1,500, and they'll give you that. They'll send it to you in about a couple of days.
So you want a pair for your car overnight. And home, right, Jim?
And then
I want with the designer frames.
See,
as well.
And normally you can
get them. You think I'm joking?
And normally, really? Yes. And normally the frames that will house actual lenses are an extra $225.
Oh.
But now they're free.
Sweet.
So you can save $225 if you get it right now.
Wow.
And these now we got. I don't really wear these.
They look very. How do we say black ops?
They do. But you know, I normally don't wear those.
That's not how you roll, Doc.
It really isn't.
Wow.
You have your frame choices here.
Man, that East German style look is coming back.
Yeah, Dieter. Yeah. I'm wearing my Google Glass.
Yeah. Very nice.
So this, but this is actually. I think the video piece is good, and we'll probably use it at school to get testimonials, talk to students.
Are you going
to
post any of these on the Tech Talk page?
I think we probably can.
Okay,
I think we can post them on the Tech Talk page.
Yeah, I'm going to.
So you could wear this around the studio upstairs, and you could do a little video, a little Google Glass video.
And that would go right to your Google.
And then he would run up an HR.
No, I could forward it to you, and then you could do something with it if you'd want.
Very nice, Doc. Very nicely done.
Very nice.
Anyway,
so there you
that's
go.
That's nice, Doc. Very
my
nice.
Second Google Glass in only
and
one
the
week.
The first one got lost or ripped
stolen.
Off?
Stolen.
Stolen.
I had it for 4 days.
4 days. Where did you leave it where it got stolen?
In the seat of the car.
What are you doing, Doc?
It was in that bag. It was in a jewel bag.
It was in this little bag, which looks like a jewelry bag.
Diamonds or glass?
And it was in that bag, and I was using navigation to go to Giant, and I said, okay, I think I need a bottle of wine.
Wait a minute. You were using Google Navigation on Google Glass to get to Giant?
I was testing it. Of course, I'm going to use it on someplace I know where I'm going because I didn't know whether this. So I went there and
Newfoundland.
I went there and I always locked the car as kind of a reflex. This time I didn't lock the car. I was in there 10 minutes.
That'll
came back.
You.
Was gone.
That'll teach you, Doc.
It was gone.
Gone.
You're lucky. That's
Gonzo.
All
Gonzo. And so that's really all they
did.
Took.
They steal the Cantenna?
So no, they didn't. The Cantenna, I've still got the Cantenna, and
very
I listen
nice,
and listen.
That's
I got all, I got all my Blackberries too. They didn't. They didn't steal any of my old Blackberries.
You can put the Blackberries on the hood of your car,
exactly.
And it'll still be there. Nobody's taking a Blackberry.
Nobody's doing that.
Oh,
so
my God.
So I ended up having to call the IT department, and they'd been so careful with it because they didn't want it to be lost.
You know, the Senate. I think you and I went down to the Senate years ago for something. I forget what.
Yeah,
it was.
Something.
But that's at the beginning when. One of the senators was up there, and he says, I've got to go. I've got a message on my BlackBerry. That's the first time we ever heard BlackBerry.
Mm-hmm.
Going, he's got a BlackBerry in his pants? What's going on here? Fruits talking to him? What's going on? But now I wonder if the Senate has gone all over to the iPhone now versus BlackBerry.
I think BlackBerry is losing their
it's
market
toast.
Share.
Yeah, good
they
point.
Are absolute toast.
You know, they try to relaunch calling it Blueberry, thinking it'd be a softer,
right, softer kind of
sound.
But it's
nipper,
or raspberry for the ladies.
Well, yeah.
Ladies.
We can go another way with that one. But I love that one, Doc. Thank you so much.
So the thing is, you can see why people wouldn't want, you would not want you to wear this.
No.
At the bar.
No, not
because
at the bar.
Because you can't tell whether you're taking a movie. You can't tell when you take pictures. Well,
plus, you look like a dork.
Yeah, where's that glass?
But you're just there blinking, and people don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so
you're going to wind up
and
getting
so it actually,
you might want to get punched.
It actually offends people.
They'll punch you.
Yeah. So you really can't wear these everywhere.
No. I mean, you don't walk into the men's room with Google glasses on. Hello. Yeah, real hello.
No.
Oops, wait a minute. So, I just thought about that.
I did walk into McDonald's this morning with Google Glass.
They didn't know.
That sounds like a bad idea.
And I ordered an egg McMuffin, and they gave it to me with no issue.
No issues.
And so they got it quickly.
So there was really no issue taking Google Glass into McDonald's.
Unless you walked into the men's room.
Yeah. Now that could be a problem. I didn't test all locations at there.
And install three. Yes. Okay. Yeah, that'd be kind of tricky.
You can see they're low
on
toilet
paper. Hey, Doc, thanks for the walkthrough on this one.
Yeah.
Nice. He sent us an advance email to let us know.
I know. I did some
homework.
It
was arriving.
I sent an advanced email, and then it got stolen. Yeah. So then I had to buy another one, so I'd have it here for today.
If you hadn't done that. So there's no memory. One quick question. I know you got to go. There's no memory on that thing itself, right?
It has.
It goes right to the cloud.
It has 16 gigabytes.
So whoever stole your glasses has whatever you put on the glasses.
Yeah, but not much. Yeah, they do.
But that's the point.
It was also set up. It's possible if they're stupid that they could upload stuff to the cloud.
Wow.
And we can figure out where they are.
And the thing is, there's not the equivalent of a Find My Phone.
No.
Application.
No.
I need to find my glass
so I can
track the guy down and I could like turn on the camera and find out who exactly
I'm shocked
has it.
You're not all over this, Doc, with some of that
you
technology.
I'm working on it. There was a guy who had his glass stolen. He was in a park. He had it set for like continuous video. He was uploading it to the cloud and some guy came along and said, "You know, could I see what it looks like through the glass?" And so he let him use it, and then the guy just ran away, and the guy stole his glass, and so so the guy broadcast video of his entire day. I mean, he had about three. Yeah, the guy who stole it. He had about 3 hours of video. Of course, it never showed his picture because he had the glasses on.
But it showed
everybody else.
Showed where he was.
So this guy put together a little YouTube video of the guy's day and uploaded it, so you can look at the day of the guy who stole the glass.
That's funny.
And I'll have a link posted to the website because it is interesting to see this
I'm
guy.
I'm running back upstairs
gotcha.
To check the
okay.
website.
Very okay. good, David. Thank you for stopping you, by. We really appreciate you coming in.
Bye, everybody.
Okay, everybody. Bye-bye. David Byrne, everybody. This is Tech Talk Radio Saturday morning on Federal News Radio 1500 AM 820 AM 107.7 FM HD2. Stand by. We will be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment. Change your life. Put your talents out there on your terms. Get full credit for your ideas and hard work, and set your own pay. If you're ready to be your own CEO, Stratford University's life-changing Masters in Entrepreneurial Management program can show you how to develop and launch your business. From writing a solid business plan to financing, legal issues, staffing, even branding and marketing. Let Stratford show you the ropes and walk you over the pitfalls of running your own business. Choose from online or in-classroom courses at our convenient campus locations in Tysons Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Change your life. Take charge of your future on your own terms. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University. Changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And now it is time for
Profiles.
Mr. Big Voice is right on target. Today we're gonna be dealing with Babak Amir Parviz. Babak Amir Parviz. That's what his mom called him. Babak Amir Parviz. Babak Amir Parviz was born in Tehran in 1973. He is the man behind Google Glass.
Ah.
And he's the man who started the Google X research labs. He was born in 1973 in Tehran. In 1994, he received a Bachelor of Science degree in Mathematics and Electrical Engineering from Sharif University of Technology in Tehran. After graduation, he moved to the United States. In 1996, he earned a Bachelor of Arts in English Literature from the University of Washington. Now, this is interesting. You see, he came from Iran. He was a technology guy, and the first degree that he got here in the U.S. was in English literature. He was particularly interested in late 19th century and early 20th century American writers. And he was asked about that, and he said that liberal arts shows him that there are different ways of thinking about issues. And he went on to say that the educational tradition in Iran is that you really value culture and tradition. And so he, because he's, you know, he was from Iran, but this is the ancient Persia. Mm-hmm. And in ancient Persia, they valued education.
Sure.
And so he wanted to compare the American culture and the Persian culture through literature. So, I mean, the guy is quite sensitive in that regard. And I think it's indicative of the quality of people that are in Iran, just as citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Despite what we hear about the government over there.
Right.
In 1997, he earned a Master of Science in Electrical Engineering from the University of Michigan. And in 1998, a year later, he earned a Master of Science in Physics from the University of Michigan. In 1999, a year after that, he got a PhD in Electrical Engineering and Physics from the University of Michigan. So he was on a real roar there.
Mm-hmm.
From 94 until 99, he got a second bachelor's, two masters, and a PhD.
Kind of a smart guy.
Kind of impressive.
Yeah.
From 2000 to 2001, he worked for Nanovation Technologies. They worked on nanotechnology. See, Nanovation Technology. He was a designer and product manager for photonic devices. These are devices
LEDs. Take pictures, right?
These are like lasers. They emit photons like lasers or LEDs. From 2001 to 2003, he was a postdoctoral fellow in chemistry and chemical biology at Harvard University working on self-assembly biomechanical devices. And I'll explain what those...
I was going to ask you, what in the heck is that?
I'm going to explain what that was in just a minute. Then after he finished that particular job, in 2003, he accepted a faculty position at the University of Washington in Seattle. And then while at Washington, he was assistant professor for 5 years. Then he went associate professor for 4 years. And then he went on to become an adjunct or affiliate professor for the last few years in the electrical engineering department. Now, in the beginning of his research, he worked on MEMS, micro-electromechanical systems. These are systems, he developed self-assembly systems, and he created self-assembly circuits where he could make silicon circuits on plastic. Now, how he did this was very interesting. He actually went in and made small silicon shapes that had different properties on them, and they would only fit in certain areas on the plastic film. And he put all these shapes in like a slurry, and he just put the plastic in there. And all the silicon shapes, they found the right location, and they assembled an entire circuit.
Wow.
So it was self-assembled circuitry. And it's very difficult to put silicon on plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was able to do this self-assembly, and it was really – so he was – there's going to be a lot of future manufacturing based on self-assembly. I mean, the whole human body self-assembly, the DNA and everything, the molecular level, so self-assembly production is going to be a future trend. And so he was really into that. In 2007, he received the MIT Tech Review 35 Award for his work on MEMS, Micro Electromechanical Systems, MEMS. In partnership with Microsoft Research, because now he was out at University of Washington in Seattle, that's where Microsoft is located, he designed electronic contact lenses, which serves as a glucose sensor, and they could monitor the blood levels wirelessly to help type 1 diabetes patients track their blood sugar. So they'd wear this contact, and they'd get a continuous readout of blood sugar. Because instead of prick their finger, and so it's really a pretty great idea. Because he's always was interested in making very small electronics that would have some social good. Then, while at the University of Washington, his team created another contact lens. And this contact lens had a lot of electronics in it. It actually had LED displays. It had a Wi-Fi connection that would connect to a cell phone, the Wi-Fi connection to the cell phone. It had a small solar cell so it would keep charging itself. It had an LED display, and it had electronics. And the idea was that he was making a contact where you could actually see your cell phone display in your contact, and you'd see something displayed out in front of you with these LEDs. And so they called it the bionic eye. So you see, he was very interested in this whole bionic eye thing, you know, making contacts. And so this was sort of a general focus that he had when he was doing his research at University of Washington and also at Microsoft Research as just a sort of a consultant. Then in 2010, he left University of Washington. He still taught there as kind of an adjunct. And from 2010 to 2014, he was Google Distinguished Engineer. And he was the founding director of Google X, which was their research labs. He was the man behind Google Glass. So you can see the Google Glass function that we have. It's got a display that you look at. It's connected to your cell phone. So the functionality that he wanted in that little contact lens, which I don't think was ever successfully deployed, he put that functionality into Google Glass. So he essentially continued his research at Google with Google Glass. And you can see that his dream is to make it smaller and smaller and smaller so we have something that is more useful. Now, also at Google Glass, he continued his work with the contacts, and they created a smart contact lens program. And this device, instead of having a display that you see, they have what they call a super zoom feature that could magnify objects so that somebody with bad vision could see better. There was also a built-in camera that would detect images, and then a microchip would then analyze the data to inform the wearer of an approaching object. So the lens could also be made to ultimately detect faces or link to mobile phones. So you see, a blind person could put on the contact, and they could look at something, and they could get a warning that would come back to them that mm-hmm. there's something out there, there's a pole in front of you, or they could get some signal that there's a face record. They could look at someone, and they could get a signal from their iPhone, hey, this is John, to tell them who they're talking to. So this is all his theme, trying to apply technology for social good. That was another project while he was at Google X and working on. And he said he worked on a number of other secret projects while he was there, but that he didn't talk about. Now the trouble is he left Google. He left Google X. The announcement just came out. You know, it's just very recently. And I went to his blog, and he just put up this big Amazon thing, and he just said, really excited. And now he's got a position as VP at Amazon. Now, they really haven't said what he's going to be working on, but they expect him to do something in the wearable space, because that's what Amazon wants to get into. And he's expected to expand the company's efforts around optics. Now, you know, they already have this special optics in the Fire phone where they have the four cameras that can detect your face, and you can, as you rotate your face, the display changes, and they're trying to use that sort of optical methods in order to give more functionality to the phone. So they expect them to handle that, to continue that line of research, but they are a little secretive is exactly what he's going to be working on. But you can see a theme here for Babak. It is, do you think that's Babak?
I think Babak, probably.
Babak. B-A-B-A-K, Babak. I'd say Babak. So there's kind of a theme here in that he's working on small electronics that do social good. And you can see that he's not really tied to any particular company or school. He started the work at University of Washington, then he did some of the work at Microsoft, some of the work at Google. But there's a theme. He continues his research as he goes through, and if he finds a company that can fund the next block of research, then he goes there for mm-hmm. a while. I mean, it's, he's really motivated not by money, but by doing some social good. This is the nice thing. He still goes back to his home in Iran to visit his parents at least once a year.
Excellent.
So he wants to go back there. So I hope someday Iran can for people like him, they could do their research in Iran and be free. It's nice to see people can come to the U.S. like this and be very successful.
Yes.
So there you go, Babak Amir Parviz, the man behind Google Glass, as well as the smart contact lens at Google, and the founder of Google X.
Excellent. Hope you're paying attention. Your chance to win a prize based on that knowledge comes up next in the Pop Quiz here on Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio. Stand by. Be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
What's the latest innovation in IT degrees? It's the Stratford University innovative approach that turns marketable skills into an employable edge to get you hired faster in today's hottest fields like cybersecurity, data mining, and mobile networking. At Stratford, our IT instructors bring their own business world experience right into the classroom with real-world problem-solving projects structured like a real business, empowering you with real hands-on skills so you can hit the ground running doing exactly what you learn in the classroom, right in the workplace. It's all part of our proven learn-by-doing approach to IT. Every class, every degree, every day. We offer bachelor's, master's, and associate degree programs at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. Stratford University, changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
And now it's time for Washington's most popular and longest-running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now here's your host and star of our show. No, it's not Gene Rayburn. It's not Alex Trebek. It's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
Welcome back to our classroom of the airways. It's not a radio show.
No, it is not.
No, and you know, we've been covering some very, very significant technology topics today. Earlier in the show, I was talking about Babak Amir Parviz. He is the creator of Google Glass and the Google Smart Contact Lens. And he started his career at University of Washington, and he did some research with Microsoft at Microsoft Research Center. What was the product that he created with Microsoft?
That's right.
He was at Washington, and then he was working with Microsoft and then Google. What was the project that he was working on with Microsoft?
You need to get that answer to us quickly.
That's
and
right.
Via the phone. If you're calling from west of Tehran, Iran, it's 877-936-9333. If you're calling from east of anywhere else, it's 877-936-9333. And, of course, the wildcard line is 877-936-9333.
And if you're calling from Tehran, you can use Skype. That'll be an encrypted call.
Mm-hmm.
You simply connect to Tech Talk Radio 1, and your call will be forwarded directly to the studio.
877-936-9333.
I do that
because time is a waste and dial now.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the Google Glass, let me give you some of the facts on the Google Glass since we've had this is like a whole Google Glass show. Yeah, Google Glass show. Well, it went on sale May 15th for $1,500 to anyone. And it's the camera, it does 5 megapixel pictures. The videos are 720 progressive, 720p. The audio is bone conduction transducer. A bone conduction transducer, is that there's that bone right behind your ear, and you can feel that, and that, and there's a small transducer that gets on that bone, and the sound is actually quite good. It connects either using Wi-Fi to your home network, or if you want to connect to your phone, it uses Bluetooth. But in order to get internet access, your phone has got to have hotspots enabled, which means you're going to have to unlock that feature and pay a little bit more for it. Unless you've got an Android phone, in which case you don't have to do it. It has 12 gigabytes of store of usable memory. It's synced with the Google Cloud storage. It's got 16 gigabytes total. Now, Google says the battery lasts typically one day. I don't think so. I've not been getting one day out of it. I'm getting probably half a day or 4 hours. But then I'm always taking videos and playing with it. So
there you go.
So maybe that's not a – maybe I don't have the typical use. In terms of mobile compatibility, you have to download an application called My Glass. You download the My Glass application for the Android or the iPhone, and you can configure it. And it, since the headset is connected to your iPhone by Bluetooth, it serves as a Bluetooth headset. In case you get a phone call, you can listen to it. But unfortunately, whenever you get a phone call, it cuts off your navigation.
Oh, no kidding.
And when you're doing navigation, you can't take a picture. But there you go. That's everything you'd ever want to know about Google Glass. And we're going to be continue to do research, Trevor, to find out how we can integrate Google Glass into our whole content development system.
Gotcha. We don't have a winner yet.
Okay, so let's talk about the app of the week. That would be Shazam, S-H-A-Z-A-M. Shazam is a mobile app that recognizes music and TV around you. And more than 450 million people are using it. Now, it took Shazam, it's been around for a while, actually. It took them 10 years to reach 1 billion tags. And then it took them 10 months to go from 2 billion to 2 billion. Then it took 3 months to go from 10 billion to 12 billion. And so they're accelerating. They have apps that are available near the Apple Store or the Android Store. It supports Mac, iPhone, and Glass. So now I installed the Shazam application for Glass. And now on my drop-down menu in Glass, it says recognize this. So I just say recognize this, and any music that's there, it'll just tell me what it is. It's really nice. The big news on Shazam is that they just are now supporting Mac. They were supporting Windows. It's really a nice app, and it's really accurate. It gives not only the name of the song, but also the artist. And there are multiple artists singing these songs, and it's unbelievably accurate.
Crazy.
Then the device of the week is Navdi. It's an iPhone link heads-up display, and you just put that little device up there, and you can see the whole map. You put it on the dashboard right in front of you, and you see this heads-up display, and it's like the map is projected out in front of your windshield about 2 meters. You see it right out in front. It's extremely good. You can pre-order Navdi for $295. Versus the regular price of $495 when it ships in early 2015. So they're trying to get people to order it early so they can put it into production. You can just simply go to navdi.com to look at it, and you can order it right now. It looked like a very neat-looking device. Listen, this Tech Talk just went so fast.
It did.
And I couldn't get to everything, but a lot of these topics we'll just push over to next week. We love your emails. Email us at techtalk@stratford.edu. And also go to the Stratford University website, which would be stratford.edu. Check out the programs and let them know that you heard about them on Tech Talk Radio.
And if you tuned in later, we'd like to hear the show again. It will replay tomorrow, or rather today at 2 o'clock this afternoon. We'll see you next week.
May not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT FM HD2 Manassas. This is Federal News Radio on the air at 1500 AM and and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. The Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, American University Eagles, Washington Nationals, and the Washington Capitals. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Coming up today, we have baseball on the radio here on Federal News Radio. The first place Nats take on the Braves in Atlanta this evening. The coverage of the game starts at 6:30. First pitch just after 7 here on Federal News Radio. The forecast for Washington today, it is going to be mostly sunny and a high in the mid-80s. Right now it is 76 degrees outside our studios in Northwest at 10 AM. Press conference.